tax mill equivalent.
Correct.
And that's .92?
Yes, that's, so the additional borough cost per year, it should be that column divided by approximately $137,000, which is the equivalent of 1 mil property taxes. In other words, if we were to raise property taxes by 1 mil, we could expect to get $137,000 more in property tax revenue. So that column was provided only for illustrative purposes. It's not part of the proposal to do anything to property taxes, but it was just included as a contextual way of seeing what that cost means in other terms. And so yeah, I included that just for informative purposes.
Okay. That's all my questions for Lee.
Assembly Member Decker asked most of my questions, but the one thing I did hear a couple of days ago is that the union employees have not received any raise in the last 3 years during the negotiation. Is that true? Did they not get their step increase?
No, they did.
They did.
Except for any employee who would be parked at the top step and has no further steps to receive, which over the last 3 years has been one employee.
Okay, so they did get their step increase.
Yes.
During negotiation. Okay, thanks.
Go ahead, Steve.
Lee, why is this is? I want to kind of address something that the IBEW lawyer alluded to in her presentation when she was here, and that was that we had a $7 million reserve, so we're more than flush to take care of spending more money. Why is a reserve important to a municipality, in your opinion, as our finance director? What does it do for us?
Well, an
unrestricted reserve, sorry.
Yeah, that reserve amount probably refers to the general fund reserve. That covers some of the employees represented by IBEW, in that some of the employees are in departments that are general fund departments. Most of them, a greater number, are in utility enterprise funds or the ports and harbors, and there's actually one that works with the pool. So, just to keep that in mind, the general fund reserves is for the general fund, and that, you know, that funds finance, administration, fire department, police department, jail, corrections, 911 dispatch, municipal garage, which is IBEW represented, public works, which is IBEW represented. It also includes planning and zoning, it includes community promotion, it includes the library, it includes the cemetery, it includes the subsidy that the general fund provides to the Parks and Recreation Department to the extent that there is an annual operating loss. In other words, they spend more money operating than they do bring in user fees. Same thing with the museum and Nolan Center, or the museum and civic center. The Nolan Center is subsidized by the general fund to the extent that they have an operating deficit, spend more money each year than what they bring in fees. So the purpose of the general fund reserves is to have some money tucked away to be able to run the operational budgets of those departments, and beyond that, to reinvest in capital when it needs to be reinvested in. When you need to make capital purchases because your equipment is too old, or you need to repair buildings because their roofs or siding are just too old, or any other thing that, you know, is part of the city's fixed assets. That money is there so that you can basically provide for those things in the event that you need to, even when there isn't enough revenue in a given year to cover all those expenses. For example, this year the budget was passed with a considerable general fund deficit. We're able to do that because there are reserves there to spend, and there have been surpluses in recent years that we can apply to some capital improvements that have been deferred for a long period of time. So any of those things I listed are need to be funded by the general fund. And the purpose of reserves is to be able to meet your needs even when money starts going away.
Have we in the past removed steps to this scale or modified the scale in any way?
I don't know the answer to that for certain. When I started here, my predecessor, Jeff Jaywish, said that probably should be done periodically. Just because it helps keep the wage ranges kind of moving up with the rate of inflation over time. Mm-hmm. I haven't been here long enough, and I don't remember, I didn't research that to know if that was done when any previous contracts were renegotiated and ratified, or if we did it just on our own. I do note that the non-union pay scale is 15 steps, and the union pay scale is 16 steps, so that tells me that at one point someone did something. I believe maybe the city might have hacked off step one, you know, to make the new step one what the previous step two was. That's my assumption, but I'm not for sure.
Thank you.
So, so I guess I have something to say, just basically about the public. To the public is.
Do you have any more questions for Lee?
No, Lee, I don't. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Unless somebody else does.
I have one question about enterprise funds. Enterprise funds have to generate their own funding for that whole department. For instance, the water department.
Yes.
Including personnel benefits and yes. salaries and everything.
Yes.
So it just occurred to me that if we have union employees concentrated in one enterprise fund other than another, is the only way that we could generate funds to pay an increase in salary, would that be to increase the cost of services for that particular fund, like for port and harbor? And I know that we do transfers into different areas of the city government, but I think we are always object to transferring money into the enterprise funds. Am I correct on that?
Yes, it's written in the charter that enterprise funds will operate from their own money and that the money from those funds will not be used in the general fund. They basically operate as business-like entities with their own funds kept separate from the general fund.
So this brings up a sticky wicket. I mean, if we've got, as I said, a concentration of union employees in one area, then they're going to have to raise the electric rates or water rates to compensate for that increased obligation. Is that the way it'll play out?
I think theoretically, yes, even if indirectly. Rates are revisited and adjusted if the operational or capital needs of those funds are not being kept up with the revenues. We've recently gone through that process with the water fund.
Mm-hmm.
Given its capital needs, we will probably be going through something similar with the sanitation fund, given its upcoming capital needs. A couple of the other enterprise funds have been able to begin saving money away. Ports and harbors, they raised their rates fairly significantly. The benefit to doing that, although there was, I think, some disagreement, is that they've been able to plan to tuck more money away in anticipation of Shoemaker Harbor rehabilitation, which the city has to provide a lot of more than half the funding. And the more that can be saved away and funded for that, the less debt will need to be taken on in the form of revenue bonds to fund that project. So I think that was a lot of the motivation behind adjusting the harbor rates. The electric funds rates were increased, I think, 7% in 2015, I would say. And as a result of that, I think they've also been able to do well in terms of, working hard to get the priority list of improvements done. I think they're continuing to do work on that this year, which comes at a cost. But it would have been difficult to do that without those rate increases that were passed. So, you know, I think there are a greater number of employees in the electric and ports and harbors fund that are represented by UDW than, say, water and sewer, which have between them three employees. Sanitation has two. So, you know, I can't say that, you know, approving this plan, let's say, would necessarily result in rate increases. I think a rate increase would be based on the overall picture, of which personnel costs are a fairly significant piece, but not the only one. There's other operational costs and capital needs that need to be taken into account to decide if rates need to be adjusted.
When we had the presentation a week or so ago from the union attorney, there were a couple of reasons that they gave for asking for the rate increase. One was to break even with the insurance addition that they were going to have to pay. And the other was that we weren't really in line with other municipalities in Southeast, and I understand you went and looked at Petersburg. How did we kind of fare when you looked at the rates in comparison with Petersburg's pay rates?
So it was either available online on their website or on request of their finance department. They have, my understanding is there are two unions representing workers in Petersburg. One is called PMEA, I don't know what that stands for, and then the IBEW. I think the IBEW only represents their electric. Those wage scales that relate to those agreements were available either by request or online, I don't remember. But I took those and I figured I'd make them available for people to look at. I included the attachments, so you can see, you know, what some of those positions say, what their position title is. I can't speak to their job descriptions or if the duties are identical or not, but a lot of the names are similar. So I took my best stab at aligning those job titles on these pages that are from those collective bargaining agreements with the corresponding job titles that we have. I guess there's kind of a mix. Some positions pay more in Petersburg than in Wrangell. Other positions appear to pay more in Wrangell than in Petersburg. But the comparison that you're looking at in terms of this attachment shows the proposed wage scale. So you have to kind of keep in mind what's being compared. If you were to compare our old wage scale, step one, to the Petersburg attachments in their PMEA contract or the IEW contract, I think it would probably be considerably less in a lot of cases. But alternatively, if you look at the maximum wage, some positions continue to, you know, even under the proposal, be paid a little bit less than Petersburg, it looks to me. And other positions under the proposal would be paid more than they earn in Petersburg at the maximum. So I guess the only other thing I can say about that is that that's not a comprehensive wage and benefit analysis to come up with a perfectly comparable apples-to-apples comparison. The only real way to do that I would recommend is an independent firm that specializes in those. I don't have time to nitpick over job descriptions and comparability. I know that a firm that would be more specialized in it would look at the bases of comparison that are valid, such as economic similarities or differences, geographic similarities or differences, demographic similarities or differences, and then they would probably do a minimum number of job duty matches between positions to determine if there's equivalence there. Anyway, it would be a long kind of involved process. It would cost a bit of money, and it's in our personnel policy that wage and benefit studies are done periodically because it would provide, I think, the most amount of objectivity and, you know, kind of professionalism and honesty, really, in terms of, you know, don't take my word for it, I'm the finance guy, you know. Other communities have done it. Even Sitka, who has a dedicated human resources director, that's still not enough for them not to commission an independent firm to come in and do a comprehensive wage study. So I presented it because it's brought up to me often. Claims are made that, you know, we get paid way less than Petersburg, you know, and I don't know if that's true. All I can do is look at the evidence and ask for other finance offices to send me their wage scales. And so, you know, I try to include a little bit just for reference. But again, it's not. I'm not stating that it's a perfect comparison. It's just what I found.
Thank you.
Julie, go ahead.
So that made me think of a few more questions. Do you know when the last wage study was made? I didn't know it was part of the personal policies.
I don't. I think it was in the 2000s. We've been asked to go dig that up and provide it. I haven't been able to find it. I don't have it in my office. We've looked at records to see if we know where we can track it down and see what box it's in. But it's been long enough that I don't think it would really be trusted by anybody, even another wage and benefit firm, as to its, you know, the usefulness of its information. The market changes too much in that amount of time, so they'd probably recommend that you just kind of, you know, I don't know what they would do with it. But no, I haven't been able to find it, but I think it was in 2000, sometime between maybe 2004 and 2007 or 8, someone else might
so
know.
Likely 10 years at least.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a couple other things that when people were asking more questions came to my mind. Last year's finalized budget, city budget. And toward the back, you had some charts and sort of some generalized information that, and to me, really helps paint a picture that, again, is something that we deal with at this table is a lot of generals and specifics of trying to make everything work in the budget, right? So revenues coming in, you know, expenses and trends over time and that sort of thing. So one of the pages talks about major general fund revenues. And there's one, two, three, four, five, six different sources of general fund revenue and the trend between 2009 and 2017. Basically, revenues, general fund revenues in 2009 were $7.1 million in round numbers. And in 2017, were $6.37 million. So a reduction of roughly $800,000 or so. That rings a bell?
Yeah, I remember what the graph looks like.
So trending down over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, I would say flat to downward. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the citywide personnel costs for the same years, you have wages, overtime, tax, PERS, health insurance, workers' comp. So the total cost to the city and city taxpayer of a city employee. So in total numbers, in 2009, that was $5.2 million in round numbers. And in 2017, it was $7
million.
Okay. Okay. But generally, over time, increases. So, from where I sit, I generally see general fund revenues going down over 10 years and wages going up. Not just wages. Total costs for an employee. And that's a real important piece for us when we look at these things is not just wage, not just health insurance, the entire package of the cost of that position. And I want the public to understand those are the kinds of numbers that we're trying to balance with, as Assembly Member Gilbert mentioned, in every single one of our enterprise funds where we charge fees for services, our rates are going up. At least in the last 3 years, I think almost every single one of our funds have gone up. Electrical, Ports and Harbor, sewer and water previously, water recently. So we're maxed out on sales tax already at 7%. So, you know, the wiggle room is in property mill rates. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that comparison, that table, where you sort of equated things to what it would mean in a property mill rate increase, because it's important information for us to make it in a decision like this. Not that it would have to be that way. You know, we could make further cuts. We could, you know, but what we've seen is we've had very tight, infrastructure budgets, and we're starting to see some failings. Water treatment plant and other areas where we have to put some money in, and the state is not going to foot that bill anymore. So anyway, I think I'm done.
Any further questions for Lee? Thank you, Lee.
Okay.
Your turn, Dave.
Okay, so I just want to clarify a few things. Today I read on KSDK, basically, union workers want more contract talks. Okay? But what I understand, the city made the last offer, and we're not going to bid against ourselves. So the way I look at it is, if you're not going to come back with a counter offer, it puts us at an impasse as an assembly. So I don't know where we can go from here other than what we're doing right now, because you guys never came back with a counter offer, and I just want the public to know that with the city making the last offer, they're not going to bid against themselves. So I just want the public to know out of that KSDA article that that's where we're at with this. And I just wanted to clarify that with the public.
Any further discussion?
I just want to say one thing. For me, this comes down to sustainability, that whatever we agree to as an assembly, we have to be able to sustain it down the road. And we have to look at the long-term effects to the community. and that it's for me, I'm not, you know, that is key, that whatever it is that's offered has to be good 20 years from now. We got to be able to keep maintaining what it is. And I worry, I'm extremely worried about the current fiscal situation in the state and the fact that we don't even know what's coming down the pipe yet from the state, that timber receipts could be gone next year. We don't know, which would leave our schools in funding deficits. And that if the state came forward and did a sales tax scheme, that could cut our sales tax dramatically. If they capped it at 10% and they took 7%, that would leave us 3%, which is less than half of what we currently have. Unfunded mandates from the state, senior and disability tax exemptions on the first $100,000 of your property costs us over $1 million a year. Used to be a funded mandate, now it's an unfunded mandate. And we don't have the revenues that other communities have, that if you have a major industry in play, those revenues are not there. I know I've had some community members say to me, but we've got $7 million. Well, $7 million is a drop in the hat and would go away pretty darn quick. I know it seems like a lot of money to the average person, but to a municipality, it's not a lot. We're already, our hospital is living with less than 30 days operating capital in their reserve, which is it's unfathomable to me that we would have that situation, but we have to be prepared. We may have to step in and help the hospital. Infrastructure is aging, and we know already, luckily I think the electric department is doing a great job in-house fixing and repairing things, but we know our infrastructure is aging, our buildings are aging, our fire trucks are aging. And we kicked the can down the road for a lot of years, and now it's coming that we've got to replace some stuff. So my big thing is that whatever we accept, it has to be something that we can afford. And there's a lot of unknowns out there right now, and I'm very concerned about that. So I think it's important the community understands. It's not a matter of that I don't want to give people raises. It's a matter of I want to be able to pay the wages or raises that we give.
Anything further? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That is it for our agenda this evening. We will adjourn at 7:06 p.m.
I am needy though.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and hang up.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not more. Oh, yeah, it's too far.